Today's daf is Kuf Yud Dalet. We're going to start at Kuf Yud Gimel Amabet toward the bottom, about 10-15 lines from the bottom. Just to review, we had a braita that Tana brought in front of Rav Nachman. He said that in this braita it says the Be'erchin Misadrim and also Baal Chov. Right, so we had Tana Tanakamej Rav Nachman. Maybe we'll just start there and read through from there. So it's about 20 lines from the bottom. He brings in front of Rav Nachman the braita that says, "Kederech shemisadrim be'erchin kach misadrim b'baal chov." That means if you give your value to the Beit HaMikdash and then you don't have anything left, so the Kohen comes and evaluates how much you're worth, how much you need, basics, and you give the rest right to the Beit HaMikdash, and you're left with your basics. So same thing with the baal chov, when you give back the mashkon, if he doesn't have enough in the mashkon. Right? If you want to take the mashkon, so you have to give him some for himself. So Armalei, hascha zivune v'zabninan, sidure misadrinan le? So wait a minute. If it says, if we learned in the Mishnah that at a certain point you can sell the collateral, the mashkon, then it sounds like you own the mashkon and you don't have to give him back anything. So now the Gemara says, what do you mean? Do we really mean that? What do you mean that we sell it? V'hatznan, doesn't it say the machzir atakar balayla v'etamach resha b'yom? You don't return, you don't sell the item, you return it to him every single day. So then they answer, no. The Tana who brought this, which is the Emor really, who brought the Tana in exorcism in front of him, holds kirashbag, okay, kirashbag Tana kamei. He brought this braita in the name of Rashbag, and Rashbag was the one in the Mishnah, and as he says, according to Rashbag, even though we say in the Mishnah that we sell it, right? Now he's coming to say we have to be misadir. So v'hachi kamarle, hashta l'reshbag, and then Rav Nachman comes and says, wait a minute, l'reshbag zivunim zabninan le, sidur misadrinan le. If we sell it, then we don't do this sidur thing where we leave him some money. It sounds like you sell it. So basically, just to say it simpler, he brought, the Tana brought, or the Amora who's bringing Tanaitic material, brought this braita in the name of Rav Shimon Gamliel that says that you have to leave him over with something. Comes Rav Nachman and says, but Rav Shimon Gamliel himself says we sell it, which sounds like you don't leave him over with anything. So then we say, right, Titzna Rashbag Omer, Aflat Smoino Machzir, Ela Ad Shloshim Yom, but Mikamba Elach Machram Bebeitin. That was Rashbag. So now we say, Umimai Dechi Ka'amar Rashbag Zivune Legamre Ka'amar, right? The obvious answer would be, who's to say that when Rashbag says we sell it entirely, Dil Mahachi Ka'amar, maybe this is what it means. Ad Shloshim Yom Hajale Be'ene, right? The first 30 days you give it back to him as is. We do the misadrina. We sell it, but let's say it's a fancy watch he has. So what do? We say, well, look, you're a poor guy. You don't need a fancy watch. So we'll sell the fancy watch. We'll take the money from it. I'll get most of the money, and I'll buy you
a cheap watch,
and you'll have a cheap watch which serves your purposes, but right, you don't need the fancy watch. So then they say no. That can't be the case, okay? In which case, by the way, at the end of this sugya, we're going to be left with the Rav Nachman has a problem with that braita that the Tana said before him. Okay, that's going to be the bottom line. Okay, so now we're going to have to explain what was so difficult to him, because right now we seem to have a solution. He could sell it, but sell it and leave him with something. So isal kedatach itle l'rashbag hay svara lekamidi delo chazele. If you think that this is what Rashbag holds, there is no such thing that's not ra'oi for him. Meaning, any fancy watch is what he's deserving of. In other words, that you can't trade in a fancy watch for a cheap watch because Da'amar Abaye, Rashbag, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Shmav, Rabbi Akiva, Kulu Sfiralu, Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim Hem. Just like a king has to walk around with his fancy watch, it would be an embarrassment if he walked around with a cheap $10 Walmart watch. Right? You can't do that. So it's likewise, any Jew is like a Ben Melech, and if that's the watch he walks around with, that's the watch he gets to keep, and you can't trade it in for something lower and take the rest of the money. And therefore, it's not really the end of the sugya, but it's the end of this question, which is basically we've concluded that Rav Nachman has a problem with this braita being like Rashbag, because either we sell it or misadrina, and you can't say both. Rashbag wouldn't be able to say both. He would basically only be able to say, we sell it, and he can't hold misadrina. So now, where do we know that Rashbag, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva all hold the Kol Yisrael B'nei Melachim? This is, we've seen in other times, where they take all different statements by different people and say, oh, this is all the same bottom line. Rashba ditnan lo atalof ve lo atachardav. Okay, these are things that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbat. Okay, when we talk about tultul on Shabbat, we say that, right, you can't carry on Shabbat at all, right? Things are mukse if they have no use on Shabbat. Now, lof, it's a type of plant that grows, and chardal, mustard seed. These are things that can't be used unless you cook the lof. Nobody eats it raw. And the chardal, unless you grind it, which neither of those things can be done on Shabbat. So that renders these things useless, okay? Now, if they're useless, then they're mukzah. However, one second. Lo atalof, right? Right, so what's the issue? These, you're allowed to actually, right, lo atalof means, I forget the whole beginning of the Mishnah. It's, you actually can carry these items because, what's the reason? They're ra'oi for orvim. Okay, now orvim generally, ravens, are not birds that people have in their houses, which means, right, I just want to see, ematal to the Mishnah, no, you can't, right, that's why, I didn't read the end. Okay, sorry. According to Tana Kama, you can't be metal tel the lo talof lo tachardal. Rashbag matir belof beluf mipnei shehu ma'achal orvim. What does he say? Since ravens eat it, the loaf uncooked, it's allowed. Now, generally, we're not allowed to deal with food for animals that aren't dependent on us. So, why does he say food for ravens? Nobody has ravens in their house. But lo and behold, who has ravens in their house? Kings, the rich people. They have them for decoration, Rashi says, or for to play with them, or something like that. They have ravens, and therefore, Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim, and therefore everyone is allowed to carry loaf. It's not muksa for them, because anyone in theory could breed these ravens. Rabbi Shimon Ditanan, b'nei melachim sachim shem en vered, al gabei makotehem b'shabbat, shekein darkam lasuch b'chol. So, on a Yom Chol, okay, generally, the B'nai Malachim, okay, we can't use anything, any kind of ointments that people use for medical reasons, medicinal purposes. However, this stuff, the Shemen Vered, you're allowed to use because even on a Makkah, because people, kings use it all just regularly. That's kind of stuff that they put on their bodies regularly, and therefore, everyone is considered B'nai Malachim. So Rabbi Shimon, so according to the Tana Kama, again, I didn't read the whole thing, the B'nai Malachim can do it, but not anybody else. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim Him. Okay, and therefore he holds everyone's allowed. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva Detanya, Haresh Ayuno Shimbo Elef Zuz, V'Lavush Itzdila Bat Me'a Mana. Okay, he owes 1,000 Zuz, and he's wearing this coat that's worth 100 Mana.
Which is
10,000 Zuz. Mafshitino tamimenu umabishimoto itzila haruyalo. Okay, so what do? We take off this cloak, we sell it for 10,000 zuz, we give the guy 1,000 zuz and give him back a cloak that's worth less. Vitana mishum Rabbi Yishmael, Vitana mishum Rabbi Akiva, Kol Yisrael ruyin lo ta itzila. Okay, so again, everyone can wear this and therefore, right, everyone is ra'oi for this and therefore you don't force someone to take off their jacket even if it's worth more than the loan. Okay, now, so that's the end of all the rabbis that say everyone's a ben melech. Now, we want to go back to what we thought from the beginning. What about the Gemara's suggestion? Remember they suggested to knock down Rav Nachman's question on the Braita that perhaps what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel meant and what this Tana meant when he was quoting in the name of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that we sell, after 30 days, we sell the item, and then, but we pay, right, we give the guy, we downgrade him, and we give him this cheaper watch, let's say, and then the guy gets his money, but he doesn't get the full amount. Okay, so what were you thinking here, right? So what we thought from the beginning, to Yavle, Mai Dechazile, that you give him Mashava Oilo, Mazabnina, Mai Delo Chazile, Bishlama Karva Keset, Chazile de Bene Bene. It makes sense if you're talking about a pillow. Because there's a high-quality pillow and there's a lower-quality pillow, right? You go into a pillow store, there's all kinds of gradations. Ela machreshai lamaychazia. But a machresha is a machresha. There's no souped-up edition, you know, like it's a plowshare. You know, it either is a plowshare or it's not a plowshare. So there is no such thing as give someone a machresha that's not ro'oilam. So Amar Rabba Barabba, machresha de kaspa. We're talking about, now, you might think this means a silver plowshare. However, if you look in the Koran, they have a good explanation here. They say that a machresha de kaspa, okay, he quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, the Aruch and Tosfot. It's a silver plow. It's not a plow, mamash. It's a scraping tool made out of silver known as a strigil. An implement mentioned elsewhere in the Talmud, and here's a picture of it. Okay, so in other words, Rabbeinu Chanan, the Aruch, Tosfot, they all have an alternate interpretation that doesn't mean, it's an ornament, basically. Nobody's plowing with a silver plow.
The strigil was very useful.
Yes, but some say it was more of an ornament, some say it was a useful tool. Either which way, it's not a silver plowshare, right?
Right, strigils and plowshare are completely different.
Right, completely different.
Well, then it doesn't answer the question. Right?
No, so then the point is, you can, it's something that's useful, but you can get a tool like that that's not made out of silver. In other words, this one's silver, you can get a tool that's not silver. In other words, if it's a scraping tool. No, so it doesn't mean plowshare at all.
Uh-huh.
That's what they're saying.
You're saying it never meant.
They're saying it never meant plowshare. That's what they're saying. They're saying it must be something else.
Okay.
That's also called a machresha. Matkifla Rav Chaga. So now we have another question. V'lemale, why doesn't this whole concept that misadrina le would apply to a baal chov, okay, which basically means what, right? First we say the Baal Chov is responsible, he has to return the mashkon every night. But then after 30 days comes Rashbag, and Rashbag says at that point, you're done. Basically, magia lecha to get your money back, you sell the mashkon, you get your money, and shalom al Yisrael. But then we suggested, right, maybe you give him some of the money back, right? And you misadrina le. So now they're saying, b'leimale, why can't the malva say to him, lava lai karamit? You're not my responsibility. The fact that you have no money now is not my fault. I lent you money. I was nice to you. I did, right? You didn't manage to get your act together. Now you have no money. I'm sorry, but that's not my problem. So Amalei Abaye, Ivra. No, really. Okay, Rashi says Ivra means be'emet. Alai karame. It is your responsibility as the malva. How do we know this? Mishum shenemar ulechati etzdaka. Right? The whole issue is you're supposed to, right, give this person staka, you're supposed to treat him with extra, right? You're supposed to go beyond the letter of the law, basically, and therefore it is your responsibility. Ibayelahu. Now we have a question. Maoshi, this question, there's two different ways of understanding it. We'll go with one interpretation. Maoshi sadru bebalchov. Now this is what we just saw before, right? That according to Tanakama, we're going to say misadrin. According to Rashbag, we're going to say lo misadrin. Okay, so now it, potentially one of the ways of reading this question is the question is, okay, so what do we paskin? Okay, ibalu maushi sadru babalchov. Can, right, do we say this, that when you're owed your money back and the guy doesn't, right, and he gives you the mashkon, and the mashkon, if you take the mashkon, he's left with nothing. Do you have to do this or not? So now, remember, where do we know this from? Erchin. Starts with erchin. If you give the value of yourself or another person and you have nothing left, then misadrin. Do we apply the same thing to a baal chov or not? Which basically, again, reading it in this eye, okay, Rabbeinu Tam is a different way of reading it. We're basically saying, do you have to deduct, right, and leave the person with some money at the end, or can you take it all? So mi gamar micha micha me'erchin. Remember, imach achicha, right, if he's poor, and it appears by our psukim also. So do we learn this gzera shava? Okay, where it says by a love, it says ki yamuch achicha umateyat chaimo, and by erchin it says imachu me'erkacha. So since the same word appears by both by the malve love situation and by the erchin, we're going to learn one from the other. Olo or not? So tashma, let's learn from here. Deshalach raven beigarte. He sent in a letter. Davar ze sha'alti lechol rabotai velo amruli davar. Okay, I asked this question to my rabbis and nobody answered me. Biram, kach hayta she'ela. However, there was a question asked like this, and from here we can learn the answer. Haomer, harei alai mana lebedek habayit, maushi yisadru. Okay, you say, I'm giving a manet to the bedek habayit, and that happens to be all you have. So, do we do sidur or not? Right? Do we deduct or not? Now, what's the difference here between what we were talking about before? Before, we were talking about erchin. Erchin, it specifically says in the Torah, But now they're asking, what about Hektish? Okay, so we're now having three issues. We dealt with Erkin, where we know for sure it applies, Ms. Sedri. Now we're going to have Hektish. We're going to say, does it apply or not? And that's all to answer our question about the Balchov, and we'll see how we get from there to the Balchov. So what happens here? There's a two-way machloket. Rabbi Yaakov Mishmei de Barpadev, Rabbi Yirmiyah Mishmei de Ilfa. Okay, so two rabbis in the name of other rabbis. Amre, Kal Vachomer mi Balchov. He's going to say, we learn Hektish from a Kal Vachomer from the Balchov. So now we're going to see what they say about a Balchov. Okay? Uma Balchov Shemachzirin Ein Misadrin. Hektish Ein Machzirin Ein Odin Shem Misadrin. Okay, so first of all, without understanding this yet, we see already, what does it say? Balchov Einan Misadrin. Okay? That's what it says in this source here. Okay, so therefore, it's not like Erchin, is what we're going to conclude from, according to this opinion anyway. So now, what's the Kal Vachomer? What's the law about a Baal Chov, that if you take a mashkon, you have to return it every day? What if you say, I'm going to give something Hektish to the Beit HaMikdash, and you don't give it? So the Gizbar of the Beit HaMikdash comes, and he can take a collateral from you in order so that you pay up, because you owe money to the Beit HaMikdash. That does not come under the laws of loans, and you have to return it every night. So in that case, Hektish ein machzirin, meaning if the gizbar comes, you didn't pay up. The gizbar comes and takes collateral, keneged what you owe to the Beit HaMikdash, he doesn't have to return it every night.
Okay? Can he sell it and use it as the thing you...
That's a good question. I don't think so. It's a good question. I don't know the answer if he can sell it. Right, I guess you can, because that's what they're saying. They would take the collateral, sell it, and use it. So then the question is, well, do the same laws apply as by Erchin, that if they take your collateral, they sell it and use it for the Beit HaMikdash, do they have to leave you with something or not? So comes Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah in the name of Ilfa Bar Prada, and what do they say? If by a Baal Chov, where we make him return it, right? And yet, Ein Misadrim, because they're both the same logic, really, is how much do we have to go likrat the poor guy, right? So, if we say you have to return it, and yet we say Ein Misadrim, Hekdesh She'ein Machzirin, Ein Odin She'ein Misadrim, right? If in Hekdesh we don't even make you return it every night, then obviously when it comes time and he still doesn't pay, we can sell it and not have to leave him with anything. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Neder Be'erkecha Ktiv. What does the Pasuk say there? It says, Neder Be'erkecha, because Neder and Erkecha come next to each other. Okay, what do we say? We make a Hekesh here. It's like two words, right? Neder is like Hekdesh, where you're no dare to give something to the Beit HaMikdash, and Erchin is Erchin, right? So what do we say? And that's, even though the context is not that, but they're saying, since these two words appear next to each other, what do we say? Ma erchen misadrin, ap hektesh misadrin. Okay, so we have a two-way machloket, whether we say it's misadrin here or ein misadrin. Okay? And it depends whether you learn a chavachomer from the Balchov, and then you'd say ein misadrin, or you learn this hekesh, I'm getting confused between the different things that we saw. We saw before the Gzera Sheva Micha Micha. This is the Hekesh of Neder Be'erkecha.
It's difficult that they're seeing a charitable vow as a loan.
It becomes a commitment that basically turns into some type of a loan. Now, it doesn't fall into the category of a loan, and therefore the criteria, right, all the laws of a loan. And you can see why, because it's not Ben Adam L'Chavero, really. It's Ben Adam L'Makom. And the Ben Adam L'Chavero is what causes it to become in this context of, well, you have to do tzedakah to him, and you have to,
it seems,
right?
Like it should be more of a neder issue, doesn't it? Like, people make a vow now to give charity, and they don't take collateral.
Right, nobody would grab your money and say,
word,
right, it is interesting, this concept that you have to, they could then take a collateral against what you committed.
At a rather large
quite strong
amount. I mean, they can really...
Right, it could be a large, well, depending on what you were
going
to do.
If you unwisely...
Yes.
And then, you know,
yes,
promise
then
too
be
much money,
trouble.
You would really, can really mess yourself up.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Okay. V'idach, so what does the other guy do with, right, the Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yaakov do with this pasuk of Neder Be'erkecha? Ha'hi l'nidom b'chvodo hu da'ata. Ma'erchin nidom b'chvodo, av hektesh nidom b'chvodo. Okay, so what does it come to teach you? That if... If I say, okay, some people say it's not kvodo, it's kvedo, his liver, okay? Because the general understanding of what this means is, if you say I'm giving the value of my liver, okay, if it's one of your vital organs, like your liver, then basically your body can't function without it. So we don't assess what the value of your liver is, we assess the value of your whole body, okay? If you say it's your arm, so even though your arm is pretty basic, you could function without your arm, your body could function, and therefore it's just the value of an arm. Okay, again, how you value those things, right? It's, I guess you would probably take what's the value of a person with an arm and what's the value of a person without an arm and calculate the difference. But anyway, that's what, so just like erchin nidom b'chvodo af hekdesh, if you were to say, hare alai, my liver, then he would be nidom b'chvodo. In other words, we would figure out how much, right, how vital that organ is, and therefore we might say it's your whole, he's giving his whole body. Okay? So now they question. If we're going to make this kavachomer from Baal Chov to Hekdesh, why don't we make a different kavachomer from Erchin to Baal Chov and learn that Baal Chov is Misadrin? Okay? So, that's what it means. V'yisadru b'baal chov kavachomer me'erchin. We should learn that you do Sidor b'baal chov as a kavachomer me'erchin. How would it work? Ma erchin she'em machzirin misadrin, right? And erchin, you don't have to return the collateral if you take it, right? The gizbar takes his collateral. You don't have to return it. And yet, misadrin. So therefore, ba'al chav she'machzirin, ein odin she'misadrin. So shouldn't we learn out, kavachomer to erchin, that instead of what we thought before, ein o misadrin, and learn that ba'al chav is misadrin for the same logic that we used before, but the reverse, instead of learning it for ba'al chav to hekesh, we say erchin. A machzirin, and yet we still misadrin. So likewise, Baal Chov, since came machzirin, since the Torah requires us to return it, obviously then the Torah is going to require us to leave him with something. It makes logical sense. So now, why is they going to say no? Because Amakra imachu me'er kecha. Specifically, it says in that pasuk, it doesn't say imachu, it says imachu me'er kecha. So what are they coming to? I'm sorry, who? Imachu me'er kecha. So what do we say? Hu velo baal chov. It comes to teach you it's a specific law in this case and not be baal chov. Okay, v'idach. What does the other guy say? If it's just hu mi baal, velo baal chov. So why does he say that it's going to apply also by hekdesh? Right, is that? No, sorry. What is he going to do if, right, if he says that be baal chov, we are misadrim, so what do you do with this? Hi, ad shiyehe b'makoto mitchilato b'makuto mitchilato va'ad safo. Who means that he needs to be in poverty from the beginning to the end? Okay, so some people say that that means, right? So what does it mean? It means that if we're gonna be misadrin and leave you with something, it has to be a person who is poor in the beginning and is still poor, or right, and didn't become rich in the meantime, or. Wasn't, let's say he was rich when he committed and then he's poor, we don't have the same laws that apply to him. And some people even go to say, what if he was poor in the beginning and poor at the end but rich in the middle? Okay? Then also wouldn't apply to him. Okay? So it has to be from the beginning ad safo, and that's his drasha, what he would do with that word. Okay. V'yechziru behekdesh kavachomer mibal chov. Why don't we say that we should be, okay, so now, if we're going to use these kavachomers, so let's say that we should say a kavachomer to learn that you are machzir in hekdesh, right? We started with this assumption that hekdesh, you don't have to return it. If they take collateral, you don't have to return it. Maybe we should learn as kavachomer mibal chov, like this. Uma bal chov she'ein misadrin and yet machzirin. So hekdesh and misadrin, if we're misadrin hekdesh, so, right, ein odin she machzirim, shouldn't we learn that also you have to return? So what are the answer? Amar Krat, and this goes along with what I was saying before, that these laws just don't apply at all when it comes to Hekdesh, because they're Ben Adam L'Chavero laws, and there is no Ben Adam, right? There's no Chavero on the other side here. So the Pasuk there says, when it says you have to return it, V'shachav b'salmato uberachecha, right? He'll let him sleep with his cloak, or his blanket, or however you read it, and he will bless you. Meaning, the person you return it to, right, will bless you. Well, who's it going to be the blessing here when it's the Hekdesh, right? It's not relevant, right? If you return, let's say, right, the Beit HaMikdash is the Malveh, and the Loveh is the person who committed the money. So who's he blessing? God? Like, Mama Kom to bless God. So yetzah hekdesh shein tzarich bracha, right? The hekdesh doesn't need your bracha. So say, what do you mean God doesn't need your bracha? Don't we bless God all the time? V'lo v'haktiv yachalta v'savata uverachta. So they say, okay, that's not a good one. So let's try another one. Ela amar kra ulecha tiyet tzedaka. Right? So what do we say? Misha tzarich tzedaka. Yetzah hekdesh shein tzarich tzedaka. Now maybe we need to bless God, right? But God certainly doesn't need our tzedaka. Right? That's not relevant. Okay. Eshkachei Rabba Baravua le'Eliyahu. Now we get a very interesting story. It's not so much of a story, but somewhat of a story. Rabba Baravua meets Eliyahu, dekai bebeit hakvarot shel avdei kochavim. He finds him in a cemetery of non-Jews. Amrale, ma'u shi'isadru bebalchov. He says to him, what's the halacha in this case?
There's a lot of things he could have asked at that
point. Yes, yes. There are a lot of things. There's actually an interesting explanation, which I didn't understand 100%. But the, really, the first two questions are a lead into what he really wanted to get to, which is the third question. You could try to think about it. I didn't have enough time to really totally understand it. Maybe as we learn it together, we'll figure it out. But anyway, keep it in mind as we read. Okay, so do you have to leave the Baal Chov with anything? Amarle, gamar micha. First of all, you have to think. You think this is a random question. It's a very basic question. If, right, people are lending money all the time, and they take a mashkon, and the guy doesn't have any money, why was the guy borrowing? If he didn't have, right, he didn't have money. So if you take this and you're leaving him with nothing, is that okay or not? It's a pretty good question. Probably pretty relevant. So ma'am shisadru b'balchov. Amale gamar micha micha me'erchen. Gabe erchen k'tiv ibeimachu me'erkecha. Gabe balchov k'tiv ki yamuch achicha. Okay, so he says, we learn it from the balchov that you are misadruing. I skipped a page. That's what I was thinking. That doesn't look right. Okay, there we go. I'm going to skip back the wrong page. Okay, so b'chiyah muchachicha. Okay, so therefore, we learn, micha, micha, that you are misadrin the Baal Chov. Minayin la'arom shelo yitrom. Okay, this one seems a little more random. Okay, how do you know that someone who's not clothed can't give truma? D'chtiv v'lo yir'ebacha arvat davar. Okay, when you're doing something with holy, you know, connected with Kodesh stuff, you can't have any erva, and therefore you can't take your truma when you're not fully clothed, or when you're not clothed at all. Amar lei, and now he says to him, so you have to think about how these two questions lead up to this, I'm not really sure. Now he says to Eliyahu, lav kohen humar? My time a kaimar bebeit hakvarot. Aren't you a kohen? What are you doing in the beit hakvarot? Okay, I don't know how the first two really lead to that, but anyway, something to think about. Amar lei, lo matne mar taharot? He said, didn't you learn Masechet Taharot, he says to Rabbi Barbua? And as Eliyahu says, like, aren't you up on your learning? D'tanya, what does it say, Masechet Taharot? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai omer, kivrehem shel avdei kochavim ein mitamim. Okay, the kivarot of avdei kochavim were not mitame. How do we know this? Shenemar, v'atem tzoni tzon mariti, adam atem. So what does it say there, right? You're tzoni, you're my tzon, you're my nation, you are adam. Atem kruyim adam, ve'ein ovdei kochavim kruyim adam. Where does adam come up with tumat meit? Who remembers? Ve'adam ki yamut ba'ohel. And they learn out only adam and not akum. It comes from here, and they learn it out from the pasuk in Yechezkel that calls him adam. Now, I noticed there was a footnote in the Koran that talked about the fact that, what do you mean? Adam, isn't adam general term? So when it says ha-adam, that means mankind, everybody, the universal term. But if it just says Adam, it's also a drasha specifically meant for this purpose, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's all the time. This is, again, one of those cases probably where they knew the halacha, they wanted to connect it to a word in the pasuk so that you remember that.
Is that true now?
Yeah. Kohen can go to a Beit Kvarot of Avdei Kochavim.
You just have to be really sure that there aren't any Jews buried in it.
Right, exactly. That's always the tricky part. Atem kruyim Adam, ve'en Avdei Kochavim kruyim Adam. So now, basically, he asked this question of Eliyahu. Eliyahu says, why am I asking you this question, right? Which, first of all, was a bit of a, you know, not nice question. Like, what are you doing in the Beit HaKvarot? Almost like accusing Eliyahu. And Eliyahu says, don't you know it says in Taharot, right? Didn't you learn Taharot? So Amar Leh, here's his answer. Bar ba'a lo matzina b'shita matzina. No.
Yeah.
But shouldn't it be the opposite?
I am not able even to do four. How do you expect me to do six?
Okay, that's what it means. Oh, okay. I was thinking that he could do four, not six, but you're right, it's that. And then to say, I'm not even up on four Sidrei Mishnah, you expect me to be up on six? Okay, now what's the assumption here that he's talking about? Which four out of six? Right? Why would he distinguish between four and six Sidrei Mishnah? Because two are Tarot and Kodashim, which are less relevant nowadays. So those are the least likely people are going to learn, which is true nowadays also. Right? They're the least of the people learn. If we're going to learn something, people learn Moed. Right? They learn Nashim, Zraim. You know, Zraim, at least in Eretz Israel, is more relevant. And Nezikin. But, you know, for sure, Kodashim and Tarot. You know, expect me, you know, if I don't even know the four basics, do you think I'm going to know Tarot and Kodashim? I don't know Tarot. So Amarlei, Vamai, says, I don't understand. Why aren't you knowledgeable in all these things? You're a rabbi. You're supposed to be knowledgeable in these Sidrei Mishnah. Amarlei, Dechika Le Milta. He says, life is rough. In other words, I got to work. I, you know, it's a rough life. I'm distracted by my life. I can't get my learning done. So Dabre Va'aile L'Gan Eden. He brings him up to Gan Eden. Okay. Amarlei, Pshot Glimcha, Sveish Kol Mehane Tarfe. He says, take off your cloak and gather up some of the leaves from here. Safa Shakil, okay, so he gathers up some leaves from Gan Eden. Ki avanafik, when he's going out, Shama de Ka'amar, he hears a voice that's saying, Man ka'achil la'alme k'rabba baravua. Who's eating up all their world to come in this world like Rabba Baravua? In other words, he's saying basically, why are you collecting? Right, he hears this voice, which almost could be an inner voice, saying, wait a minute, if I collect this now, maybe I'm using up my Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. In other words, what was the thing? He was struggling in Olam Hazeh. So Eliyahu says, if you gather up some of this stuff, you'll have Olam Hazeh, you'll have Olam Haba in your Olam Hazeh, and you know, life will be easier for you. But then he realizes, which is this concept we've seen before, that if you use up stuff from Olam Haba, you know, in Olam Hazeh, well, you won't have anything left for later. So what did he do? Nafit Shadinu, he drops it and leaves all the leaves there. Says, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. It's almost like, right, you have to think about what's going on here. Eliyahu wanted to give him a glimpse into what it was like to then realize, you know, for him to maybe appreciate what he has, you know, think about his life in perspective. Maybe sometimes you have to leave to come back and see your life from a different perspective, and maybe that's what helped him. What's interesting is, so right, what does he do? He says, I don't want any of this, right? Forget it. I'll keep my rough life. But, afilu hachi, even so, ache l'glime, sachat glima recha, zavne betreser alfe dinare. So what happened? Because he put the leaves in his glima, it was so strong and so potent that the glima now took on a different nature, and he was able to sell it for 12,000 zuzim, okay? Which is a lot of money, or dinarim. Well, dinarim and zuzim are interchangeable. They're the same thing.
I think there might be a connection between the four questions. Like, okay. If you think about it, Adam had to take leaves to cover his nakedness.
Uh-huh. So first of all, yafeh, that you're connecting Adam and Gan Eden here, right? That we're talking about the Adam and the Gan Eden, yafeh, and he used leaves to cover his body.
So those are all of them.
Uh-huh.
And then he really didn't need, you know, had he not sinned, he wouldn't have even needed the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So here, maybe there was something in his life that wasn't right, and he said, I can repair it, and then I won't need the leaves.
Yafeh. So maybe something about original sin, you know, that he needed to kind of go back and be metaken something, and it gave him the ability to do that. How does it connect to, so the arom, ayafeh. So it goes to the arom, right. Like the minayin la'arom shalei yitrom, about Adam before when he was arom, yafeh. And how does it connect to the Baal Chov?
But the Baal was very, very poor. He says that in dire financial stress. It has some, the talk, I haven't quite worked
so you
out.
Think, so you think he's so also talking about also. Himself. He's worried that he's going to be left with nothing. Maybe he had a loan out, and he was worried that he was going to be left with nothing. Why? How does that relate to them asking about the Beit HaKvarot, though? In other words, what are you doing in the Beit HaKvarot?
Well, that's what was the launch to take him to Gan Eden. I mean, because he was dealing with death and life.
But only because he... So Gan Eden having to deal with life and death, maybe? But it doesn't connect so much why... It's true that that question led him to end up in Gan Eden, but the context, right, the question, if you're a Kohen and you're in the Beit HaKvarot, how does that connect?
Adam, which is
related to the Adam. So it brings up the Adam, except it's the Adam, Dafka, not the Adam HaRishon, because it's Dafka, the Jewish Adam, right? The higher standard of the Kohen, a little bit you can talk about, if you think about it, there's a little bit of discussion of hierarchy in society. There's the rich, the poor, there's the naked, the clothed, and there's the Jew and the non-Jew.
Also, there's the truma.
Each of these questions have...
Truma goes to the Kohen.
Right, Truma goes
and
to the Kohen, so it's connected.
Maybe a Kohen wouldn't get Truma if he's walking around, if he's not behaving in a Kohenly fashion.
Uh-huh, I see. Okay.
I think all four questions are connected.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yafeh. Okay. So there we go. We got some ideas out of this. Now, what happens? So he now becomes rich, basically. But what does he realize? He doesn't really want the riches because he heard that voice, that inner voice telling him, you know what? The rich, right, is not always such a good thing. So what does he do? Paginu lechatan bate. He divvies it up to his chatanim, to his sons-in-law. He says, you know, I don't want to keep all this wealth. I want to give it to... Right, it could be, it sounds like he gave it all to them and he didn't even keep any for himself. And he says, you know, I'll stick with my poor life and,
you know. And you have to support them later.
And then the question is, did he go back and learn then and figure out a way to learn? Right, it's true, he didn't have to support his sons-in-law anymore. Whether he was or not, I have no idea. Anyway.
Well, it says he didn't give to his own sons because that would benefit him since he was...
Ah, yeah, fair. Not to his own sons, specifically to his sons-in-law. Ah, yeah, fair. Right, maybe it's not possible he didn't have sons, but we don't know about that.
He still has his daughters.
Right.
He doesn't support them after they're married.
Right, it's true. No, it happens to be right that his sons really are his responsibility, not his sons-in-law. I think that there is a point. Again, whether it's true or not, whether he had sons, he didn't have sons, the story is particularly telling us that he gave to his sons-in-law.
Right.
Right, which does seem to make a point that it's his sons-in-law, not his sons.
And in Adam HaRishon, those leaves were tainted, because had he not sinned, he wouldn't have needed them.
Right. Right, the leaves weren't always a good thing, which is exactly the same thing here.
Yeah.
Is that these leaves look good, but they're not necessarily good. They're tempting. It's about temptation, basically. Maybe the arom also relates to the temptation, and likewise, the money. In other words, you could look at it as a temptation-type sugya. It's relating to people's temptations, because that's really how the sugya ends, that he doesn't give in to the temptation. You know, he says, you know what, I don't need it. Right? First he complains, what do you expect me to learn? I don't have any money. But then he realizes, you know what, I don't need the money. And it's all those things actually really relate to that. Because the Baal Chov, right, it's about the money. It's about the Gashmi. He wants the money. What are you thinking about?
I'm just laughing because the men would have finished this in about 15 seconds flat.
Not disgusted at all. Yes.
The conversation's great. I love it.
It's also justifying to guys who sit and learn and don't work that, it, you know, be happy with your poverty.
Right.
Better.
Right. What's interesting about the story is they don't talk about, though, what happens after. Does he go and learn or not?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What actually happens to him after? It's not so clear. Right? I mean... Rabbi Rahu is someone we hear about in the Gemara, so he must be somewhat learned. But the question is, was he learned before this? Did he become learned after this? Was this a turning point in his life? Did this, you know, because it seems like it would be. You know, that's the idea. He made, what's also interesting here is often you want something, right? And then when you actually get to it, right, you realize, you know what? I can live without this and I appreciate better what I had. So, and it could be that then he goes and learns. I don't know. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Vim ish anihu lo tishkav ba'avoto. So now, what does this say? Okay, they're going to understand this pasuk, this braita. First is going to understand this kipshuto, which means really what? If he's poor, don't sleep with what you took of his. Now, we understood this as meaning give it back to him at night, right? But it sounds like don't sleep with it. So what does it sound like? You can't sleep with it. Let's say it's a blanket or a clothing. Don't sleep in his clothing. But ha'ashir shachiv. But if he's a rich guy, then you can sleep with his cloak. And it's, who gave him rights to the cloak? So my ka'amar... So first, okay, sorry, I didn't read this right. The braita basically says, if he's an ani, then don't sleep with his cloak, which implies that if he's ashir, then you can sleep with his cloak. So my kamar, what does this mean? Right? How could it possibly mean that you can sleep with the... First of all, when you have a collateral, you're not allowed to use it. Okay, so amar sheshet hachi kamar. Vim ish anihu lo tishkav va'avoto etzlecha. It doesn't mean don't sleep with his cloak on. It means... Don't sleep, and his collateral is beside you. It's with you, meaning you have to return it to him. But ha'ashir chashichi v'avoto etzlecha. You can go to sleep and keep it with you. You don't have to return it to him every night. Tana Rabbanan. Next Rasha. Hamoved chaveiro eino rashai lamashkino ve'eino chayav lahachzir lo v'over b'chol hashemot halalu. Another braita that's totally incomprehensible. If you lend your friend, you're not allowed to take a collateral. And you don't need to return it to him, and you're over on all these lavin. Okay, It's a little, right? It doesn't make sense. So my kamar. Let's try to, we're going to see two different readings. Amar sheshet. Hachi kamar. Hamavet chavero. Okay, both readings are going to change. Okay, one's going to change the wording because the first basic problem is what? You can't take a mashkon and you don't have to return it to him. What do you mean? Of course you have to return it to him. That's what the halach is. So the first reading is going to say it's not eino, chayav lachzirlo, it's chayav lachzirlo, meaning if you do take it, you have to return it. So here goes Rav Sheshet. Hamavet chavero eino rashai lamashkeno, ve'im mashkeno chayav lachzirlo. But if you do take a collateral, then you have to return it to him. Okay, ve'over b'chol ha'shemot halalu, a seifa, and the words v'over b'chol ha'shemot halalu is talking about the seifa, which means if you don't return it to him at night, then you're over on all the lavim they talked about in that section about having to return it to him every night. Okay, what this seems to be implying, by the way, is that we're talking about a loan, and I believe they're talking about here taking a mashkon when you first, right, until now we were saying the mashkon we're talking about is taking a mashkon after when he doesn't pay up. Here this is saying that when you lend somebody money, you shouldn't take a mashkon right away. Okay? In other words, you shouldn't. And I think that's what the way they understand it. I don't see any note about it, but I think they're talking about taking a mashkon from the beginning. So if the lova gives you a mashkon, fine, but you shouldn't insist on one from the beginning.
It says here in the notes, by entering the borrower's house to take the article.
So it means specifically, right, about going into his house. Okay, so it could be going into his house even when you're allowed to take the mashkon. Okay. The problem with that is you wouldn't have to say ve'im mashkeno chayav lachzirlo because you have to be machzirlo even if you took the mashkon if he was out of the house. That's the tricky part about this. That if you're, this seems to imply that the second phrase is talking about if you did it, even though you're not allowed to do it, but you are allowed to do it in a particular type of way at that point. So that's why I think there's a possible suggestion that we could read it that it's talking about in the beginning, and then you're really not allowed to unless he brings you one. Rava Amar, but I'm not sure if it's true that it's really not allowed. I think there's a debate about that. Rava's going to read it in a different way. He doesn't change. He doesn't like the idea of changing eino chayav lachzirlo to chayav lachzirlo. So what does he say? It's missing words, basically. Hachi kamar, hamavet chavero eino rashai lemashkeno. Ve'im mashkeno chayav lachzirlo. Now he's going to get into what type of mashkon we're talking about. Rava distinguishes here. Bamed barim amurim. Okay, so first of all, right? And if you do take the mashkon, you have to return it to him every night. But when is this referring to? Shemashkeno shelo b'sh'at havaato, which means what we've been talking about all along, when it's after the loan was taken, meaning when he's supposed to pay you back. Aval mashkeno b'sh'at havaato, here they say the opposite of what I said. If you take the mashkon b'sh'at halva'a, eino chayav lachzirlo. You don't actually need to return it, meaning that the whole section we learned, as we learned it before, that it's talking about when you take a mashkon after. But if you take a mashkon earlier, then you actually don't even need to return it. Vover b'chol ha'shemot halalu, then what's that referring back to now? Back to the reisha. Okay, if you do take the mashkon, you go into his house when you're not allowed to, then it's forbidden. Okay, last few we'll see now. For today, Tanei Rav Shizbi kamei de Rava. He brings a bright in front of Rava. Abo ha'shemesh tishiven olo, zoksut laila. Okay, until the sun rises, you have to return it to him. That's ksut laila, which we're going to say it doesn't make any sense, right? Because until the morning you're supposed to return it, that means
he can keep it all night.
Not that he needs it all night. Hashev tashiv lo et avot. Basically, this whole section right now is just bringing bright out that don't seem to make sense, and then the rabbis are making sense out of them. Hashev tashiv lo et avot kevo hashemesh. Right, you have to return it at sunset. Ksut yom, zo ksut yom, right? Which again doesn't make any sense. Amarle, tiyamama balelya lamali, udalelya biyamama lamali, right? This is the flip. Like, what's he supposed to do with it, right? The day at night and the night at day. Amarle, ismiye, so should I wipe this brighta out, right? We've seen this before. If somebody brings a brighta that's all messed up, we say, oh, well, maybe I brought the wrong brighta. Should I stop learning it this way and get rid of it from the record? Amarle, lo. Don't. Usually when they ask that question, it's always answered with, no, no, no. Let's understand it like this. Hachi kamar. Ad bo ha'shemesh tishivenu lo, zok su't yom shenitna lachbo balayla. Hashev tashiv lo et ha'avot kebo ha'shemesh zok su't layla shenitna lachbo bayom. Okay, so now we're saying, okay, there's different ways of reading this. I have to remember how in the end I understood it right. That, too, that it's ksut yom. Right, there were a few different interpretations. What he's saying is it's ksut that you're ksut. No, so one way I thought that made the most sense was ksut yom means the ksut that you're allowed to take during the day. It's not the ksut he needs for the day. It's the ksut that you're allowed to take during the day. And the ksut lila, right, that the subject of the ksut is the malve who's taking the collateral, okay, and not the love. That's what they explain. Okay, we'll stop here for today.